You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Snap to Prescott, third down, looking left, fade, left side of the end zone, intercepted in the back of the end zone by Brian Branch.
Brad Sham with the call here on the radio station in which you heard the fourth straight ass whooping that took place in Arlington. Good morning, Metroplex. Sean Trefar, Jay Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. It is time for Star Down, Star Down, brought to you by Crown Royal, the official whiskey of the NFL, even though you have me intrigued.
Yeah.
You do have me intrigued. Right. I'm trying to decide whether to take the bait and fall for it first in going to you for some startups.
Listen, you know, you guys have come in here all negative on a 47-9 Monday, and I'm just here to lighten the mood a little bit. That's what I do best. Star up to the Cowboys front office. Okay, this is a great day for them. You think that when you lose 47-9, it's a bad? No, it's a great day. Because they got to see firsthand what a unique and updated offense looks like.
Yeah.
Okay, this was like...
People were superimposing the Dallas hat on Ben Johnson's head yesterday.
Yeah. This was like, you know how like in work you have like a continuing education course? You know, you got to go learn the new things about the industry. Well, the Cowboys don't do that. This was that. And the best part, 100,000 people paid them to go. So, I mean, you've got to put this in the win column. That's solid. They got to see continuing education. They got to see modern offenses.
I like this.
All right. So that's number one.
Yeah.
All right.
A lot of people are saying, well, here's the question. Did Jerry Jones go anywhere? And normally I'm with you. Let people have their personal lives. This would be horrific optics if we get Jerry Jones at Al Bernays and like a private room, or we find out he goes and parties it up there with Tom Brady and... who's the halftime show? Lainey Wilson. And he's sitting there drinking Johnny Walker Blues and red wine after this destruction. That, in this instance, in my opinion, would be bad optics. Did Jerry just go and eat some duck and peas at his house with his golden chandeliers? Or did he go out and about for the Pittsburgh...
The sore peas.
Or did he go out and about for a Pittsburgh rare steak?
He looked genuinely angry last night.
Good.
A lot of people
followed up kind of what you said from Star Down. They're like, Jerry Jones has his Ford commercial running and people pack the house to see this. And they'll be the number one story on First Take. Check, check, check. That is what he cares about. What Mike Bassick has been saying for years.
Yeah, that's not this instance. Because last night it was equal parts, like disappointment.
The shock he said afterwards, this is not shocking.
I think he's shocked about the offense. I think he doesn't think there's any legitimate reason why they should have put up 9 points. And I agree, there's not.
What brought us really harped on to start off the postgame show when I was driving in. He put the defense to the side and he talked about the play caller and he talked about Dak CD and he talked about the offense.
Jerry gave a somewhat of a pass in the post game to the defense. It wasn't a full pass. Like, it was obviously we can't be like that, but it is the reality is you're missing four of your top five defensive players in this game. And then there were like two to three other depth pieces that weren't playing.
And you had all the guys that you lost depth wise in the offseason.
And you're out, even when those guys are there, you're not a very good defense.
Yeah. Like, did the Saints game happen?
Yeah. No.
Did the Ravens game happen?
So those things are already there. So Jerry, I think, kind of was like, a bunch of people are hurt over there, and we've struggled over there to begin with, and Detroit's going to stress us, so I kind of dismissed that. But Jerry focused in on offense can't be like that. Like, we can't just score 9 points. And so I think that's what was shocking to him and was kind of left him a little stunned was how did that happen? And then the other part of it was there was anger. So it was disappointment, anger, and surprise, I think, across the board.
No Bland, no Kendricks. I think Damone Clark had the green dot. And Tyler Smith starting at left tackle instead of Tyler Guyton. Back to you.
Okay, great. Start to Cowboy fans for selling your tickets to the Lion fans. This was great, okay? Our good friend Jason Newman was there, said 60% Lion fans.
Bob, over 50?
No.
I thought it was a little high.
There were too many boos for there to be 60% Lion fans.
New Orleans, honestly,
I know I saw the Lion fans who did the gritty over that poor girl puking, this girl puking over the alcohol and the Cowboys' performance, and you got an older Lions fan and then a younger Lions fan going by her with the gritty.
Maybe he meant 60% of the noise.
New Orleans, New Orleans and Baltimore felt like bigger road crowds to me than yesterday. But also, I mean, maybe difficult to tell because they both were blue.
What percent would you say? Detroit.
25.
25? Okay.
But still, I love it. All right? It shows that they're sick of this. Right? When you start selling your tickets, it shows that you're sick of this. So that's good. And you know what? I actually do have a real legitimate non-sarcastic star up.
Can't be Brandon Aubrey. That's cheating.
No. Star up to going for it on 4th and 2 from your own territory with 2 minutes to go in the first half.
Oh, I had desperation marked next to that.
That is desperation. There's no doubt about that. They knew if they gave the ball back to Detroit, they were going to score again, which, in a related story, they did.
Yeah.
But
and a star up for Detroit running on 3rd and 13, that run of the left side, I was like, oh, thank you.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate that.
But, yeah, it was.
These are good, Chop. I like them.
All right. Thank you so much. But, yeah, from your own 37. You knew you were going to lose that game. It was at that point, we have no chance. We know we need to, we have to pick up this first
Which down. Begs the question, were you flipping out when they kicked the field goal at the end of the half? What was that situation there? Should they just gone for, I think it would have been 4th and 12. There was a 4th and 12 in the game, and I think they just decided for a field goal attempt.
When the, you mean after the Turpin run back right before the half where they did?
I know
star
they
up to that. Star up to the Kevontae Turpin fake. On the that was awesome looking. That was
which
cool
one?
For about 2 seconds. The first
That's
one.
That's all we did. We ran four of the same fake with Turpin while Ben Johnson is running four different trick plays.
Yeah, we needed the gadget plays just to pick up any yardage. They just did them to flex on us.
4th and 9.
Penei Sewell, I've never seen an offensive lineman dive like that for like, dear God, please get to the goal line here. I got to score on this play.
Shannon Sharp said that. He goes, we're running hook and laterals to linemen now. I've never seen that.
4th and 9 with 8 seconds to go. I think they were, the only thing I could think of is you're just trying to make it a 3-score game from a 4.
Okay. All right. So there it is. RJ Choppy with the star ups brought to you by Crown Royal, the official whiskey of the NFL.
We already put it in historic context for the Cowboys, what this run has been like at home for them. So, but I had to go back and look. Green Bay, when they put up 48 against you on the road, that's the most points they've ever put up in a road game in the Super Bowl era. Yesterday was the most points the Lions have put up in a road game in the Super Bowl era, and it was the most points that the Saints have put up on in a road game in the last decade. So that goes to show you, it's not just historic for you, it's also historic for all these other teams. They're having like all-time great road performances against you.
Let's get to your star downs.
Okay, Dak Prescott, you're a star down. He was awful in this game.
I thought, and I'm proud of you for admitting he was awful and bad. I thought you gave him a little bit of a pass for that interception.
Which one?
No, see, that's what somebody else, that's what somebody else tried to claim too. No, what I had said was
the first one.
It's a great play by Branch. It objectively was a great play by him.
You talking about the one in the end zone?
The first one.
Yeah, it was a really good play.
It's a great
by
play
him.
By Branch, but I also said, I think Dak saw him, and Dak said postgame he saw him.
All right.
And I just said, I don't think he reasonably thought he could get there. So it's a bad.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Bad read. Like, that is a bad read. That's a bad play from Dak and a great play from Branch.
Also, if you look at the footwork, and Brady brought this up, but he just said, like, he didn't put anything on them, but he just kind of fluttered it out there.
And Tom didn't think he saw him.
Yeah, but if you look at his front
foot.
So Tom
was wrong.
You know, the plant leg, he kind of opens up. And Dak has that kind of open gate when he walks anyway, but he opens that leg up, and that's just from a baseball perspective. Don't get anything on the ball.
Dak said, Dak postgame when he talked about it, said what he probably could have done was he said, I should have held my eyes to the flat for like a half second longer. He said, if I do that, then he doesn't have time to get back there. He's like, that's probably the adjustment I make. But 7 turnovers in 6 games. He didn't hit 7 turnovers till his 13th game last year. And the year he led the league in interceptions, playing 12 games where everybody was like, oh my gosh, he's a turnover machine. He had 6 turnovers in his first 6 games. So he's at a higher turnover rate right now than he was the year he led the league in interceptions.
And that was their 4th red zone turnover. That is the most in the NFL. His 3rd red zone turnover in his last 2 games with 2 picks and a fumble. And it just makes their red zone woes even worse. They came in ranked 22nd. 22nd in the NFL in terms of red zone. Dak finished with the 2nd worst passer rating of his career, a 42.2. A 42.2. More miscommunication with CeeDee Lamb. Don't dare ask him about it. Mm-mm. Don't dare ask either one about it. I don't know how in the heck. It's like when me and Amanda watch reality shows and they're like, oh, I didn't realize that like your religion was so strict. Oh, you don't eat meat? Like, you don't have these conversations for a year or two while you're dating this person? Like, how are you still having these arguments and miscommunications? How are Dak and CD still going through some of this stuff? It seems to be a weekly occurrence.
I mean, is it the training camp time?
I don't know.
Like, honestly, because I mean they were so in sync last year. So I mean that's legitimately the only thing I can think is the training camp time mattered more than I initially thought. Trayvon Diggs.
Oh,
shut down PFF if they give him anything above a 0.0 grade. That's going to be my
it will
test.
Be above,
Then shut down the website because that was
whoa
awful play coupled with awful effort. Like, he looked like he wanted to be anywhere else other than the football field yesterday.
Wow.
Just zero interest being out there. He was, to me, those were the two blinking lights in this game from a player perspective.
The number of Tolos that pointed out his tackling, the Olays, and then he got cooked by Williams for 37. There's a couple other times. He just doesn't look fast enough.
Couldn't get the jam. Like, he just missed the jam and let him run right by him on the touchdown.
I think his tape is the epitome of this football game. He was the worst one. I think he's the biggest star down of anybody from an individual player perspective.
He was
you
really,
weird for that.
He was really he was you're right. He's representative of what the game was because it was awful play and it was just so low energy and such low effort. And to that point, Mike Zimmer, star down. I know you're missing all you're missing your best players or whatever else, but like this is a complete failure of leadership if nobody on that defense seems to be like fearful of repercussions or anything else that they're willing
they're
to go out
fearful.
There. Because
Trey's effort?
Like, I mean, Diggs or anybody, like, did that look like a team that's really worried about busting their assignments or anything? It looks very Mike Nolan-ish. And they weren't afraid of Mike Nolan or have a healthy respect for Mike Nolan.
And the tackling. Donovan Wilson, I wrote down. Malik Hooker, I wrote down. These were just individual plays. Everyone was bad tackling. Montgomery had a run midway through the 3rd quarter. That was the play to me that epitomized
everything. Oh, so embarrassing. Like, he had 2 of them. The first touchdown run where he broke like 7 tackles. Oh. I thought he snapped his ankle on that play.
No, that was Hutchinson.
And then that one you mentioned. Like, the first drive, you come out of halftime, and not the first offensive drive, the first defensive drive. You come out of halftime, you're getting destroyed. You think you would have a little fight? No, but Detroit just marches down the field.
Yes.
Not a blip of any kind of resistance from the defense. It was just embarrassing.
All right, the Tolos are fired up. I can see it on the YouTube, the fan cam, and the Twitch. And Peyton said there was over 2,000 watching last night in the post game. And I know you want to get it off your chest. So let's open it up to calls on the fan. There's a reason why we're named that. Time for you to unleash your star downs. You want to throw in any sarcastic star ups and what will and should happen to Mike McCarthy? 877-881-1053. Hit us up now. 877-881-1053. Your Cowboy phone calls are next.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.